WMAL News at 7. Good morning, I'm Heather Curtis. A 12-year-old girl underwent surgery yesterday after being shot in the stomach at a shopping center on Marlboro Pike last night. Prince George's County Executive Angela Also Brooks.
So I think it just goes without saying that children are absolutely off limits, just absolutely off limits. And so we are really relying on the public once again. And Prince Georgians, don't let us down. You all have been really cooperative in terms of helping us to solve these cases. This is one where we are actually appealing to the public once again.
No word on how the girl's doing today. Police do not think whoever fired the shot meant to hit her. This shooting comes hours after police say a man shot and killed two women who worked at a senior living facility in Capitol Heights. A Texas law banning abortions once a fetal heartbeat is detected is temporarily reinstated as the federal government's challenge to the law plays out.
On Wednesday, U.S. District Court Judge Robert Pittman had blocked Texas from enforcing a ban on abortions after 6 weeks, calling it flagrantly unconstitutional. Now, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has struck down that ruling. In a letter to the Fifth Circuit, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton argued that Pittman lacked the authority to block the law because it violated the separation of powers. The Justice Department now has until Tuesday to respond to the ruling, and the law will remain in effect until then, even as some Texas abortion providers had rushed to offer the procedure after 6 weeks. Sean Lanchel, Fox News.
For the first time ever in D.C., if you're trying to make a call within the city, you now need to use 10 digits.
The phone number plus the area code.
Neil Thompson with the D.C. Public Service Commission says that's because for the first time ever, D.C. now has two area codes.
We're going from just 202 to now 771.
But fear not.
If you had a 202, your number is not changing. Your area code's not changing at all. It's only happening to people who get new phone numbers.
John Matthews on WMAL and WMAL.com.
We're learning more about a damaged oil pipeline in California that caused a massive oil spill. Coast Guard Captain Jason Neubauer says the pipeline could have been damaged before it got a nearly 13-inch split.
It's very possible that the initial strike just deflected the pipeline with no fracture, and then additional stresses added later by another incident or the geological events, you know, maybe that either increased the fracture or caused the whole thing.
WMAL Sports, a busy playoff last night in Major League Baseball.
The Houston Astros set their sights on the sweep. Kyle Tucker with a two-run shot to cap off a five-run seventh inning for the Astros and their win over the Chicago White Sox Friday. They now have a 2-0 series lead. The Boston Red Sox launched five long balls for a franchise playoff record, a 14-6 victory over the Tampa Bay Rays Friday, evening that best-of-five up at one game apiece. The National League Division Series, that got started Friday with the Milwaukee Brewers topping the Atlanta Braves 2-1. Corbin Burns with six scoreless innings on the mound for Milwaukee and Logan Webb with 10 strikeouts through 7 2/3 shutout innings for the San Francisco Giants in their NLDS opening win over the LA Dodgers 4-0. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
Alex Ovechkin left the Washington Capitals preseason finale against the Flyers last night with what the team called a lower body injury. He went down on the ice after bumping into a Flyers player midway through the first period. Traffic and weather next. WMAL traffic, here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In Tyson's Corner on the outer loop after the Leesburg Pike, watch out for a disabled vehicle, a disabled truck in the two left lanes. Stay to your right and use caution. Now also on westbound 66, just west of Fair Oaks, there is a disabled vehicle reported in the right lane, so stay to your left and use caution there. Also watch out for an accident reported westbound on New York Avenue before 9th Street. Watch out for closures and police direction through that area. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy skies to start the weekend. We're expecting mild and muggy conditions with high temperatures in the low to mid-70s. Now, we're not expecting much in the way of rain today, but we will have the chance for a couple of showers, mainly after sunset. If you do have evening plans tonight, make sure you keep the rain gear nearby or just a light jacket. Not expecting very heavy rain, but some nuisance showers surely possible after sunset. Lows tonight in the 60s as we head into your Sunday. Still have the chance for some scattered showers early on. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies, high temperatures in the mid-70s. I'm 7 News meteorologist Alex Lee at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Now, from the WMAL WinBet Studios, the Saturday morning update.
It's hour two of the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. John Gizzi is on an assignment this weekend. He is in Hungary. And in for John, Emerald Robinson, White House reporter for Newsmax TV. Emerald, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. I mean, I'm a little bit jealous of John being in Budapest. So, you know, he got the better end of this deal, but I'm so happy to join you, Rick.
Well, thank
John
you.
John, kindly of you.
For you listening, if you'd like to follow John's travels, you can go to Newsmax.com, see what he's up to, or follow him on Twitter. Emerald, I wanted to talk to you about how you started off the week in the White House briefing room. You asked a question that I've been asking myself, and I'm sure a lot of people have for a long time. Whatever happened on the story about Hunter Biden said he would divest his interests in a Chinese private equity firm linked to the Central Bank of China, which is linked to the Chinese Communist Party? What is the latest on him divesting, as he said he would do, what, 10 months ago?
You're exactly right, Rick. You are not the only person asking that question. In fact, lots of people, lots of just even regular Americans have asked themselves, whatever happened with that, especially as we ramp up now our trade talks with China that are now kind of, you know, getting underway with the USTR under the Biden administration, Catherine Tai doing her speech this week. Also, there's the growing tensions in the Indo-Pacific. There's also China's more aggressive actions towards Taiwan. And Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor, meeting with his counterpart this week as well. So China has become, again, front and center, but we had never gotten that answer. It's been asked a couple of times. So Hunter Biden had a 10% stake at the time that President Biden became president-elect. He said in December that he would divest himself of that 10% stake in this private equity firm in China that has links to the CCP. Well, we followed up on it in the briefing room. New York Post has really been forefront on this reporting and done a great job trying to hold the administration's feet to the fire on this issue. It was asked at one point, I think in February, that still hadn't happened. In April, it was asked again of Press Secretary Jen Psaki. She says she would circle back. There was no circle back to the press corps on that. Recently, it became reported in the Free Beacon that not only had the Biden son not divested himself, but he might possibly have more shares in that private equity firm. So on Monday, when we started talking about China and Taiwan in the briefing room, I asked follow-up of Jen Psaki, pressed her on it, as to, as we now more engage with China, as they grow more aggressive, where does the president's son's business interest, financial interest, stand with the Chinese? Basically, the CCP, as he has promised to last December, divest himself of those. She said he's still winding it down and referred me to his representative. So no answer, but she made it known that he has not yet done that and that he's winding it down. How many months are we from December now, 2020?
What kind of response do you get from Hunter Biden's representatives?
None.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
'Cause it doesn't surprise anybody. The thing is that even now, though, we've reached out to Hunter Biden's representatives that we think we're supposed to reach out to. It's like, who even do you reach out to? But it's George Mazars, who was his last attorney who would respond to these issues. But lots of corporate media outlets like Yahoo Mail and, you know, other, you know, more left-leaning have even asked, and they just don't want a response.
If he ever gets back to you, see if you can get tickets for you, me, and John for the Hunter Biden art show.
Right. Well, you know, he sold several paintings this week for $75,000 pop. And he actually went to the art show, the pop-up show in L.A., which he's not supposed to have any idea about who might be buying his art, right? That's the deal the White House said they're negotiating.
Well, you were trying to seek an answer from Jen Psaki a week or so ago, and you had a little dust-up with the White House press secretary that ended up being covered in a number of different publications, including Salon. What happened?
So I tried to follow a protocol, Rick. And so the audience in America can't see the dynamics of the press room. They see Jen Psaki, but they don't see much else, right? I don't interrupt. You remember in the Trump years when people shouted and Jim Acosta shouted over his colleagues and that was just acceptable and nobody, you know, that doesn't happen in the Biden years. And it all seems to be that everybody raises their hand, and she calls on the front three rows in the briefing room, who are all corporate media, who were very freely to them in the 2020 election, and actually didn't cover the Hunter Biden laptop or, you know, anything that might be detrimental to Joe Biden. So that has gone on for quite a while. And so I raise my hand. I'm in the fifth row. I raise my hand. I'm respectful of my colleagues. I try to wait my turn. I attempt to do follow-up. And so finally, I started, you know, when she gets near me, one thing I've noticed is that she looks at me when I'm the next natural person to be called on, and she shuts her book, and she says, okay, great. That's it, folks. You know, see you, blah, 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 blah. So I started shouting questions. And so what Jen did the last time that I did that is that she had them cut the mic. The White House controls that. And she also suggested, she said, oh, well, you know, we should do this during the regular briefing time, Emerald, instead of shouting at the end. I said, I'd be happy to if you'd actually call on me during the briefing. So Salon.com covered that. And if you know anything about Salon, you can probably figure the slant that was given to that. So that happened, right? And then they actually covered me again on Monday, this Monday, when Jen, I asked about Hunter Biden, and Jen tried to suggest that I was yelling at her, and I wasn't. And many of my colleagues, who are not always that favorable to me, noted that in after the briefing that I was not yelling. Salon did an article suggesting that. Well, on Wednesday, I went to do my morning hit. We call it hit when we stand there and we talk about what's going on. It was like 8 a.m., which is the time that I'm there. And but it's this kid staring at me, like sitting like 20 feet from me. And I do my hit. Then I sit down to do my phone call, to prepare for coverage, listen to what's going on, look at what hearings are going on the day on the Hill, because I still, you know, technically cover the Hill by proxy of the White House. And I noticed that kid still standing there, and it's 30 minutes later. And I'm like, can I help you? And he said, you know, I'm just observing. And I'm like, well, there's no one else here right now, so I assume that you've been staring at me the whole time you're observing me. And I said, what outlet are you with? He said, Salon.com. And it turns out it was, you know, the guy, the article you had mentioned, and it was him, and he was there that day to observe me. It seemed he was a guest of the White House, which is interesting. And he followed me into the briefing room. And so there's definitely pressure against you if you ask questions that the White House does not want you to ask.
So you were at the White House yesterday. The president addressing the jobs report for September, the economy adding 194,000 jobs in September. They expected 500,000, and it was the second straight month of lower than expected job growth. How did the administration explain that?
Well, they actually did a very rosy picture. And honestly, going into the president's remarks yesterday on the jobs numbers, we thought he would really hone in on the fact that it was lower than normal or lower than expected and pitch the spending plan to say, oh, now that's just a clear sign that we need to inject money into the economy. He still did that. But what was sort of surreal, even for the corporate media who had called it dismal, and coming in far below expectations and all kinds of other bad headlines, is that he tried to spin it into a positive, that it wasn't that low, that unemployment was great, even though lots of people are leaving the job market. I saw some statistics last week that was just startling on men leaving the job market. And even for corporate media, it was sort of shocking in the way they tried to spin it. And I think they think, they keep trying this tactic of spinning things in their favor. But what has been interesting, Rick, is that the poll numbers are not lining up. It's that, you know, independents really do gauge the situation and see what's going on despite the White House spin. So they keep trying a tactic of trying to spin things. And it doesn't seem to be working favorably for the president if you look at the poll numbers. Because look at that Quinnipiac poll that came out this week. On the economy, what was it, 39% of Americans approve of his handling of the economy. So when he's trying to, you know, spin this into a, oh, no, this is positive, and we're going to spend trillions of dollars, even though inflation is here, they keep trying to beat down the door with this tactic. But based on the Quinnipiac poll this week, that's not working for them.
Emerald Robinson, White House correspondent for Newsmax TV, thank you so much for enlightening us to how it goes in the White House briefing room and a very detailed recap of the week at the White House. Thank you so much, Emerald.
Thanks, Rick. I enjoyed it.
So did we. It's 7:19, Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center. Then we'll talk with Cheryl Atkinson.
On the outer loop of the Beltway after the Leesburg Pike, you will still find a disabled vehicle, and that is blocking the two left lanes. But the disabled vehicle on westbound 66 west of Fair Oaks now moved to the shoulder. Watch out for crash activity and lane closures on westbound New York Avenue just before 9th Street. And also, you will find some street closures in the district due to the Run for the Badge 5K. You will find that 5th Street is closed between E Street and F Street, and F Street is closed between 3rd and 5th Street Northwest, and Independence Avenue is closed between 3rd Street and 7th Street in Southwest. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy skies to start the weekend. We're expecting mild and muggy conditions with high temperatures in the low to mid-70s. Now, we're not expecting much in the way of rain today, but we will have the chance for a couple of showers, mainly after sunset. If you do have evening plans tonight, make sure you keep the rain gear nearby or just the light jacket. Not expecting very heavy rain, but some nuisance showers surely possible after sunset. Lows tonight in the 60s as we head into your Sunday. Still have the chance for some scattered showers early on. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies, high temperatures in the mid-70s. I'm 7 News meteorologist Alex Lee at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
62 degrees in the nation's capital, 720, the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Monday, we'll talk about Biden's unemployment disaster and how do you fix your school's curriculum without being called a terrorist. O'Connor and Company, 5 to 9 a.m. on WMAL.
It's the Saturday Morning Update. Glad you've joined us this weekend. I'm Rick Fowler. Cheryl Atkinson is with us. She is the host of Full Measure. That's on ABC 7 tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Cheryl, always wonderful to have you with us.
Great to be here.
We have seen so much controversy about vaccine mandates around the country, and now it is having impact on those people who, for whatever reason, don't want to get vaccinated. They are losing their jobs. You've got a story on it tomorrow. And give us a sense of this national impact.
You know, the national mandate isn't even out yet, the one that's going to impact the 100 million plus private workers. President Biden said that there's going to be one, and I guess it's going to come out pretty soon. But really, people are acting in large part expecting it without the guidance as to what it's really going to say. And there are already pushbacks from coast to coast. There are lawsuits going on from the local mandates that are already doing these sorts of things. There are challenges. So it's pretty chaotic. We've talked to both sides for the story on Full Measure, and there seems to be the thought that some of this may not hold up to court challenge, but by the time it works its way to court, it'll be, as the activists who are against it, it'll be too late, because just the threat or the discussion that there will be these mandates is already causing businesses to force millions of people to make sure that they are vaccinated. And one of the big controversies, Rick, by the way, is I'm told by someone who's advising the Biden administration there will not be opt-outs for natural immunity, which they even recognize in Israel, you know, just like as if you're vaccinated, because your immunity is actually, according to studies, better than what the vaccines are providing. But we're told the national mandates will not recognize or allow people to opt out for natural immunity.
Controversial story, and looking forward to seeing you delve into it tomorrow. Well, you're doing a story also on the Amish, and coincidentally, I was up in the Pennsylvania Dutch country last weekend, and seeing the Amish on the highways in their horse-drawn buggies instead of cars in 2021 is a lasting impression on you. And you have a story on the Amish and COVID. Tell us about that, because it's strikes me as fascinating what you find in this story.
Well, I read some months ago, I think Associated Press or somebody had the story, several news outlets, that the Amish had reached herd immunity with COVID. In other words, it had run through the population, and now they were pretty much done with it. So I went there to find out. And where you were is the country's largest Amish community, thousands and thousands of people. And what they told me was that they decided, I guess, I wouldn't say they embraced COVID, but they decided not to fight it. They largely don't believe in hospital care, vaccination, and so on. And they said, you know, in summer of 2020, they went back to church. They drank out of the same cup for their communion-type ceremonies. They said COVID raged through the community, and then they say they were pretty much done with it and suffered none the worse than other places. In fact, they say they think they fared better than places that shut down and instituted all of these measures. So what happened? They stayed open in 2020. They claim they made more money this past year than they've ever made as a community because of that. And I checked in with them because I visited there before Delta came through everywhere. And I checked back with them in the last couple of days and said, did anything change with Delta? And my sources said they don't know a single person that's been sick in the last 2 to 3 months. So you can't prove this stuff because they don't get COVID tested. They don't care if we believe that they have herd immunity or not. They just say that's the way it is there. And the stats in terms of looking at deaths, because you can measure that sort of thing, seem to bear up their story.
And a story this week, the federal judiciary asking Congress for 5 more judges in Oklahoma. And this is just one small factor in a landmark U.S. Supreme Court ruling that is recognizing parts of Oklahoma as Native American reservation land. Tell us about this story.
Well, this is fascinating, and I hadn't heard a thing about it till we started looking into it for full measure. There was a Supreme Court decision that accepted a challenge that, in essence, found a huge part, millions of acres of Oklahoma, a big chunk of eastern part of the state, is actually under Native American or Indian sovereignty because it was never properly dissolved or severed back in the day when it was supposed to be. And this means Native Americans now are in charge of their legal system, that a bunch of crimes that were prosecuted under the normal courts are now invalid prosecutions. So they're having to go back to court under the Indian or tribal system that's being set up to rehear these cases. But there are big implications beyond that. There are questions about whether the oil and the minerals that are mined in Oklahoma on that land really are federal and state properties and resources, or do these now belong to the Native Americans because the tribes were never, or the reservations were never properly dissolved. Fascinating case with a lot of implications.
We will look forward to these 3 stories tomorrow morning. Full measure, ABC 7, 10 o'clock. Cheryl Atkison, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you.
7:26, Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer coming up, and KT McFarland.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. The one radio station for you to depend on. All day, every day. 105.9 FM, WMAL. A Cumulus Media station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning, I'm Heather Curtis. Hours after a shooting that killed 2 people in a Capitol Heights senior living facility, another separate shooting at a shopping center leaves a little girl injured. Prince George's County Police were called to the shopping center on Marlboro Pike around 6:30 last night, according to Deputy Police Chief Kevin Hughes.
Upon arrival, they located a 12-year-old who had been struck 1 time in the stomach. That 12-year-old was subsequently transferred to a local hospital.
With critical injuries, she had surgery last night. No word on her condition this morning. Police do not think she was the intended target. A federal appeals court is temporarily reinstating a highly controversial abortion law in Texas that prohibits abortions once cardiac activity is detected. The appeals court granted an emergency order that puts the law back in place for now, pending a review of the state's appeal. The Supreme Court will be holding a hearing in December concerning a Mississippi abortion law, which will attempt to ban abortions after 15 weeks. Senator Marsha Blackburn tells Fox News Primetime.
Science is on our side. When you look at when a baby can feel pain, when you approach, when you can hear the heartbeat of an unborn child.
Abortion rights advocates dispute those claims and are concerned the law would overturn Roe v. Wade. WMAL Sports. Alex Ovechkin left the Capitals preseason finale against Philly last night with what the team called a lower body injury. Traffic and weather next. WMAL Traffic. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In the district, watch out for the accident on New York Avenue between Kendall Street and 9th Street. Watch out for lane closures and police direction through the area. On the outer loop of the Beltway after the Leesburg Pike, a disabled truck still blocks the 2 left lanes, so stay to your right and watch out for a brief delay approaching the scene. Westbound 66, just west of Fair Oaks, the disabled vehicle now moved to the shoulder. Traveling on westbound 66 after business 234, headed to the Prince William Parkway, watch out for paving work in the left lane. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy skies on this Saturday. Expect high temperatures in the low to mid 70s. So still on the mild and muggy side out there. We'll have the chance for a few isolated showers during the day. Not expecting much in the way of rain. We'll have a better chance, I think, as we head after sunset through the evening hours. So you have evening plans. Make sure you have a rain jacket or some umbrella handy with you. Later on tonight, lows back in the 60s. Still have the chance for some isolated showers into your Sunday. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, high temperatures in the mid 70s. I'm 7 News meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
7:37, Saturday morning update, WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer joins us every week. He is the author of Operation Dark Heart, and he is the president of the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, great to have you.
Hey, always great to be on with you, Rick. Thanks for having me.
China dispatches 56 aircraft into the Taiwan defense zone this week. What did the Pentagon do or say, if anything, and what do they do moving forward?
Well, they really didn't do anything of note that has been recorded. I think there's been a consistent and incorrect policy of essentially allowing Taiwan to kind of swim on its own without any regard to the consequences of allowing China to become more bellicose and more aggressive. This is but one more, you know, intrusion that they've observed with little or no reaction. Obviously, we don't know what's going on in the back channels, Rick, but publicly there's really been nothing that they've done or said of any significance. And one of the things we've spoken about consistently on this program is since Biden's been in office, the issue of China and their pushing harder and harder as they see weakness seems to be the trend that's coming true. The debacle in Afghanistan, I think, has emboldened a number of challengers, and China is being one of them. And it's something that people need to really seriously study. I don't believe that the Chinese could at this point, that is the PRC, the Chinese communists, have the capability to invade the Chinese Republic, that is Taiwan. But I think that as you see the diminution of U.S. power more and more on display, the more chance there is for an aggressive China to do something next year. The moment that the PRC thinks it's to their advantage to do something more aggressive, they will. So I think you're going to see some more ratcheting up of this sort of antagonism from the PRC.
So we had a story on hypersonic missiles last week out of North Korea. Russia this week claims to have launched a hypersonic missile. The media outlet France 24 asks the question if this will relaunch the Cold War-style arms race. Now, from our standpoint, I think, you know, our guys will say, oh, stop that. Don't do that again. But what does it mean on the Russian side about the Cold War?
So there's several classes of weapons, and hypersonics is one of those which actually can deliver nuclear warheads that are being developed by a number of nations right now. One of the things that President Trump wisely did was walk us away from the Intermediate Force Missile Treaty, the IMF Treaty. That was something from the 80s, which really prevented us from developing lower yield nuclear weapons and medium range missiles, which would allow for essentially a tactical use. This is a critical piece of deterrence to have something that can actually be used to say, if you do this, there may be this consequence. Putin is developing nuclear warheads to go along with these hypersonic weapons, and it's something that we knew about and studied back in the 70s and 80s, but didn't go down that path. This is something we now should really take seriously, Rick, and decide, you know, how to best, if we're going to play the deterrence game, how to get back in it. At this point, I think Putin is serious about what he's doing. And, you know, China's going to develop theirs. This is technology. You know, technology is ambivalent to the user. It doesn't have a political bent or party. So this is something to take seriously.
So the Pentagon may take it seriously, but is there anybody in the administration, anybody over the White House, that would be perceived as being hawkish in any way? Or is this all going to be just a, let's work this out at the UN and, you know,
I think they made a huge mistake by announcing the number of nuclear warheads in our arsenal. One of the things you don't want to give your enemy the ability to understand is just how far can you go? So you've given them a huge amount of information about our capability by announcing that we have, you know, 3,000, whatever it was, number of nuclear warheads. In another era, that would have been considered treason. I'm just saying that, I don't think there's anybody at the White House is taking this issue seriously at all.
Wow. All right. Want to turn to the trial of Marine Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, Jr., and he will face a court-martial this week. What do we know about it so far?
Well, it's a special court-martial. It's not a general court-martial, so that's a good thing in that, generally speaking, you don't have major convictions come out of that where people go to jail. So I think that's the only good news here. The bad news is, Rick, if anybody sits down and looks at the charges, they're going after him for having a bad opinion about Jim Mattis. I have a bad opinion about Jim Mattis. And I'm serious. It's like I could technically be charged by the Army if you went by this charge sheet regarding what they're saying. So this is way over the top. It's very clear to be punitive. Whatever they're doing is going to be a very bad precedent if they prevail. So I think people need to really pay attention. This is not simply about one Marine speaking out of school about what he observed. This is about trying to basically silence any criticism of any officer above you within the context of their failure. And this is very bad. So look, Stu Scheller was left in a very bad position. I feel he paid the price for 20 years of a failed strategy or strategery, as President Bush used to say. But I think it's very clear that whatever happens here, it's going to be a retelling of the Afghan war on the back of the Marine Corps and Lieutenant Colonel Scheller. It's really sad, but I think the Marine Corps is going to bring down a lot of focus on things that really weren't the Marine Corps' responsibility. But Scheller was left holding the bag at the end of that with the Marines dead and a failed leadership chain above him.
So the National School Boards Association sent a letter to the Department of Justice expressing concern, and in that letter there was a mention of domestic terrorism, and this is all in the context of angry parents at school board meetings around the country.
Right.
The Department of Justice setting up a task force to investigate, and they're bringing a lot of resources to bear on this. You're a national security expert. I mean, tell us about this network of angry parents that could overthrow the government or whatever.
Well, I guess this goes back. This is parallel to the Stu Scheller issue of being criticized or going after for speech, exercising speech. Same thing here. In that letter signed by Merrick Garland, the current attorney general, it says specifically that people who engage in anti-CRT, anti-critical race theory activities are considered domestic terrorists. Now think about that. This is you or me. Anybody who goes to a school board meeting, raises their voice, states emphatically that they don't agree with a policy that regards their children's upbringing and education, you now, according to this letter, can be considered, quote-unquote, a domestic terror, which opens all sorts of resources that could be used on you and the American people. So this is no small issue. This is something that people have to really pay attention to. And, again, this is one of those rare times I'm going to say, if you're concerned about this, call your representative in Congress, because this is not something we want to ever have happen, as the Department of Justice functioning as a Gestapo regarding people's thoughts and speech regarding a legitimate issue that parents need to be paying attention to.
Wow. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and of course the podcast, Thought to Action podcast, available at londoncenter.org. And what you got going on this week?
So this week we've got Rebecca Koffler. She wrote a book, Putin's Playbook. And we got my old friend Jim Woolsey, Director of CIA Jim Woolsey, talking about Operation Dragon, the real Russian issues regarding the Cold War. And next week we got my friend Congressman Andy Biggs, the chair of the Freedom Caucus, talking about Afghanistan and Lieutenant Colonel Schiller.
Wow, sounds good. That's all at londoncenter.org. Tony, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Rick.
7:46, Saturday morning updates, WMAL. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
In Prince George's County, a problem reported on Maryland 214. Eastbound at Garrett Morgan Boulevard, there's a water main break affecting the two right lanes, and this will be in place for about the next 8 hours. Also, if you're traveling in Virginia, watch out for the disabled vehicle on the outer loop after the Leesburg Pike. The two left lanes are still taken away. Watch out for brief delays there. And also watch out for accident activity on New York Avenue inbound in the vicinity of 9th Street. Inbound lanes reported to be blocked there, so follow police direction around the accident scene. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy skies to start the weekend. We're expecting mild and muggy conditions with high temperatures in the low to mid-70s. Now, we're not expecting much in the way of rain today, but we will have the chance for a couple of showers, mainly after sunset. If you do have evening plans tonight, make sure you keep the rain gear nearby or just the light jacket. Not expecting very heavy rain, but some nuisance showers surely possible after sunset. Lows tonight in the 60s as we head into your Sunday. Still have the chance for some scattered showers early on. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies, high temperatures in the mid-70s. I'm 7 News meteorologist Alex Lee at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
62 degrees in the nation's capital, 7:47 on the Saturday morning update. 7:50, it's the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by KT McFarland. She is the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. And she was President Trump's first Deputy National Security Advisor. Good morning, KT.
Good morning.
Watching the Democrats is like watching a circular firing squad, and you have the squad on the very progressive end of things, then you have the sort of middle Democrats, then you have Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Biden trying to keep it together, and then outside of this circle are the Republicans. What does this mean for Biden going forward?
You know, it may be a little early, but I'm going to make this prediction. Dead man walking. Look, just fast forward to what's happening and already starting to happen, and people are already starting to realize it. It's the economy, stupid, right? So when people vote in 2022, what are they going to see? Economic stagflation. You know, high unemployment and absolutely high inflation. People aren't going to be able to survive. Their gas lines are going to be long. Why? Because Biden just basically shut down the fracking oil and natural gas industry in the United States. So we're going to have problems with getting gasoline. Heating oil prices are going to go through the roof. There are going to then be supply chain problems in the grocery stores. Now, some of that's Biden's fault, some of it's not, but he'll be blamed for it. When you go to the grocery store and whoops, there's no toilet paper at Costco. Then you're going to have really expensive gasoline, even if you can find it. I wouldn't even be surprised if we have gas rationing. Add that to the foreign policy issues. China's going to present, I think, the United States with a fait accompli crisis in the South China Sea over Taiwan right after the Beijing Olympics. They're going to try to subsume Taiwan into their space. They're going to be pushing the United States, trying to push the United States out of the South China Sea. So if you look at that environment that the Democrats are going to go to the country with in 2022, I think it's very likely the Republicans take the House and the Senate. And if Donald Trump becomes actively engaged in campaigning for Republicans, then they take the House and the Senate by a good bit. Changes hands, then what happens is Congress starts investigating Democrats, which they have not done for years, right? They've been investigating Republicans for years, the phony Russia scandal that I was caught up in. But then what happens when the Republicans start investigating Democrats and the swamp? They'll find out probably that Dr. Fauci and the National Institute of Health and the Biden administration holdovers in the Washington swamp were doing gain-of-function research in the Wuhan lab. In other words, we helped participate in causing the coronavirus crisis that has subsumed the world. I just think that the Democrats, there are going to be about 20 Democrats in Congress right now who are looking at how the wind is blowing. Nancy Pelosi is not getting her agenda passed. The far left is angry and they're having their little hissy fit. But the 20 Democrats in swing states have to be looking at this and saying, wait a minute. we don't want to go down with this ship. What are we going to do? Are we going to face Nancy Pelosi's ire, or are we going to face the voters who are going to kick us out in 2022? We'll be unemployed and unemployable. So at the end of the day, I think that there will be many more than Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema who take this approach. And as a result, Biden, dead man walking.
You know, you're very close to the political process when it comes to campaigns. You had a successful campaign in Florida, your daughter Fiona winning a seat in the Florida House. And the question for you is, with the Democrats and all this mess on their hands, how do they continue to quadruple down on this agenda that is just miserable? And will that prompt more Republicans to be motivated to come out and vote? And with the splintering in the Democratic Party, are a lot of the Democrats just going to stay home?
Well, there was an interesting column this actually yesterday, Peggy Noonan, who is a real Biden supporter. She's a Biden Democrat, you know, working class Democrat. That's where her political allegiances lie, as well as having worked for Reagan as a Reagan Democrat. But she really made a very interesting turn yesterday, and she's a real bellwether for that particular group of voters that you've just described. And she's mad. She said that Joe Biden campaigned as a moderate liberal Democrat, and he's turned out to govern as a far-left Democrat. And that the progressive wing, they call them progressive, I call them loony left, the progressive wing is trying to vote socialism into the United States. They're not trying to do a little bit of a change here and there, expand that program. They're trying to vote, make America a socialist country, and the voters aren't having any of it. If you lose Peggy Noonan, then I think the Democrats are in big trouble. Now, as far as the Republicans, don't take the bait. Democrats are driving the economy off the cliff. Don't get in the car with them. Don't participate. Don't have one Republican vote for any of this stuff. And then when it comes time to face the voters in 2022, the voters can turn all of their ire and anger and frustrations on the Democrats. So politically, don't get in the car while they drive it off the cliff. Don't help them.
You know, it's interesting. There is a story that the White House has informed the National Archives that it will not allow former President Trump to assert executive privilege on some of the documents related to the January 6th violence at the Capitol. That is a professional courtesy, at least, and it's been a precedent for years. If the Biden administration allows these documents to go out and does not honor the former president's executive privilege, you mentioned Republicans likely taking over the Senate and the Congress. What does that mean for executive privilege moving forward if there is a Republican elected in 2024? They've just thrown that precedent out the window, haven't they?
Yeah, it's all very short-sighted. I mean, things like, we're going to get rid of the filibuster because we don't like the way Republicans vote. What happened? Joe Biden is Jimmy Carter 2.0 on steroids. And what happened to Jimmy Carter? Stagflation, got kicked around by Russia and Iran on the international stage, looked weak, looked incompetent, et cetera, et cetera. And so when Ronald Reagan won in 1980 and took the House and the Senate with him, what he introduced was a complete reversal of those policies. So he had economic prosperity, he had peace in the world, won the Cold War, and Democrats were on the run for a generation. So I really think that we could, in 2024, be looking at a real sea change in American politics. And the loony left and the socialists, they'll be in the doghouse for a generation. Now, what does this mean with all the institutions and levers of power? All the things that the Democrats are putting in now, thinking it's going to give them permanent control, one-party control, that they're going to be able to break all of these traditions and courtesies, executive privilege, filibuster, you name it, then all of a sudden what happens when the Republicans are in control? They're not thinking ahead. The Democrats, the loony left is actually loony for a lot of reasons. And one of them is that they don't understand. You break those precedents are there for a reason, and you break them, and it will redound to their own damage in 2024.
K.T. McFarland, the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. As always, K.T., thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Our pleasure as well. 7:58, that's it for the Saturday morning update. Garden Sense follows the 8 o'clock news on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington.
The one radio station for you to depend on. All day, every day. 105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus Media station.